From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello and welcome to our program. Tonight we continue with our study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith, and the topic is the return of Christ to this world. In a moment, I will play another extract from the testimony of Jenny Graham. We heard last week of her backsliding as a teenager and the shame that it brought upon her. She takes up the story tonight where she, as a young, unmarried mother, sets up home for herself. A free copy of her full testimony may be had by anyone who contacts us requesting it. Listen for the details at the end of our program. The latest edition of the quarterly magazine produced by Let the Bible Speak is available. Please ask for one of these as well, and we'll happily send it out to you. It is free to all our listeners. Now here's Jeannie Graham telling us more of her life story.
The age of 17, I moved out of my home. You see, I thought I was a big girl, and I thought that I was able to bring up a child alone. But you know, friends, I just dragged that wee boy up. Instead of bringing him up in the things of God the way I had been taught, I was taking that wee child and I was pushing him on the road to hell because I wasn't being faithful to his soul. I even became my father's drinking partner. It was like rob Peter to pay Paul. If I had the money to buy the booze, I had bought it. And if he had the money to buy the booze, he had bought it. Every job that I had would have been in the pubs and in the clubs. And just the usual story was either drank all night and either slept or was sick all day or the other way around. And like I say, Kyle was being dragged up. And you know, those years were terrible years. So they were like, there is pleasure in sin. And I would be telling lies to say that there wasn't. But you know, these pleasures only last for a short season. And then the further you get in sin, it gets such a grip of you, and your life is such a muck, and you just don't know where to turn. But you know, we can always think of ourselves, can't we? And we can give ourselves a wee pat on the back, and we can say, you know, we're not too bad. And I think even as Christians, and we shouldn't do it, but I think even as Christians, sad to say, we do it. And we can always look at other people and point the finger and say, look at him or look at her and look at how bad they are. But you know, that's what I started to do with my daddy. It didn't matter by this stage that I was drinking night and day. I was almost an alcoholic. I would say I was on the verge of it. Maybe there's someone here tonight that has a drink problem. I don't know anyone here. And maybe you look at me and you say, well, that girl doesn't look too bad to me. Well, I just tell you this next little bit because I want you to see how low in sin that I got. Not to glorify the devil, but I just want you to notice the difference later on whenever I'll be able to tell you what Christ has done. But I have a dear old grandmother, and my granny, she loves the Lord, and she was always worried about me being a one-parent family. My granny and granda went out in the bottom of my home so that I would have no money problems. And we're just rolling the clock on to 6 years ago. And by this time now I was married and had two children, and these two children had two drunks for parents. And Gordon and I sat one night, in fact I think it was a Sunday night, thinking of money, how to get money for booze. And I came up with a plan, well, I'll go down to my granny's and I'll get the deeds off her, tell her a load of lies, I'll get the deeds, and we'll take it to the mortgage company and remortgage her home. And that's exactly what I did. Imagine that dear old lady, she loved me that much as she didn't even question me. I took the deeds and I mortgaged it for £12,000. And you know, inside 3 months, every penny of that was drank. You see, sin was taking us further, and we wanted to go.
Do remember, you can have a free copy of Jenny Graham's testimony by writing to us or phoning us. We'll be happy to send out that tape. We're turning now to our study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. And as I've already indicated, we're particularly considering at this time the return of Christ to this earth. Last week we saw how God's people have been looking forward to the return of Christ since the dawn of time. There are many references, you know, in the Old Testament to Christ's second coming. Some people may think that such a doctrine belongs only in the New Testament, but that is not so, and we sought to demonstrate that last week. Tonight I want us to learn that the return of Christ to this earth is linked very closely with the land and people of Israel. Let me say this firstly. Christ will return to the land of Israel. That piece of ground on the surface of this globe has a particular place in the heart of God. Indeed, it is often referred to in the Bible as the land, the Holy Land. And irrespective of what modern political pundits may say, it has a special place, it is a special land, and nothing will underline this more than the fact that it is to that geographical location that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Just as he came there in his first coming, so he will come to Israel in his second coming. In Acts chapter 1 and the verse 11, we have the angel speaking to the disciples as they watch the Savior ascending up into heaven. And they say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Underscore the phrase, "in like manner." In other words, as ye have seen him go from the top of the Mount of Olives, just outside the city of Jerusalem, so in like manner he will return to that very place. Zechariah, the chapter 14, the verses 1 to 4. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east." These words of Zechariah indicate the circumstances that will be prevailing in Jerusalem, around Jerusalem, on the occasion when Christ returns, and these words clearly indicate that it will be to the Mount of Olives, just outside Jerusalem, that the glorified Christ will return to this world. Let me say secondly, that the Savior will come to deliver Israel from destruction and deliver her from sin. That's part of the purpose of Christ in his return. The state of Israel was reconstituted in 1948 after it was destroyed in AD 70. For almost 1900 years, there was no such thing as the nation or the state of Israel. Presently, the Jewish people have no temple, but they will have. There will soon be a day when the sacrifices that were offered in Old Testament times will be recommenced in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. I am not a prophet, nor am I a political expert, but I can tell you this: Israel will never give up sovereignty over the city of Jerusalem, because there are plans for building the temple within that city. After the restoration of temple worship, the Jewish nation will become the target of a political, religious leader who will rule and reign and exercise his power over that part of the earth which was once occupied by the Roman Empire. Basically, the Roman Empire stretched from Iraq to the northern parts of the United Kingdom, somewhere around about the present Scottish border. The Bible speaks of this ruler as the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the man of sin. He will be the offspring of man's rebellion against God and a general rejection of the Bible that we see beginning all around us today. It seems no time ago I was hearing of a prominent religious leader who was denying that Jesus Christ was God and that the Bible taught this glorious truth. That's part of the great apostasy that will give rise eventually, and perhaps not too long from now, to the man known as the Antichrist. This evil person will target everyone who professes the name of Christ. And even though the Jewish people will still be rejectors of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Antichrist will hit them, for they are the ancient people of God. This period of bitter opposition to everything that is of God is known in the Bible as the Great Tribulation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The Antichrist will launch an attack upon Israel at the end of this period known as the Great Tribulation. You may have heard of the Battle of Armageddon. Well, actually, there is no such battle, but there is the gathering of a great army at the place called Armageddon, which is about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. The gathered armies of Antichrist will then descend upon Jerusalem and attack it. And when they are about to utterly destroy the city and its people, Christ will return. Zechariah chapter 14 and the verses 2 to 4. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. This world will yet see manifested the mighty power of God. Our time is gone, but we will take up this study of the return of Christ next week. Remember the free tape of Janie Graham's testimony and the free copies of the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. The Lord bless you. And goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT 78, 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT 78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.